in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help. I ask your very prayerful attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, and the first clause of verse 14. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Dear soul, there's one answer. No. But having said that, you and I are very much like poor dear Abraham and Sarah. When we see things that naturally speaking are totally, utterly impossible. But God will work, and who shall let it? This morning was very solemn, very hard to deliver. But, friends, it may be that one come here this afternoon and says, in effect, because you don't feel to be ready to die. And you may feel, dear soul, that it's impossible. Impossible for your soul ever to be saved. Well, may the Lord help us then to look and see about your impossibility. And indeed see and find that God's word is verily, verily true. That there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So that maybe some poor soul will go home with no more than this, than a little who can tell that the Lord may indeed have mercy upon me, so wretched, so vile, so lost in sin and iniquity. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, dear soul, you turn over into the gospel, and why here it is here in the 7th chapter, I think, here, the Gospel of John. And why the dear Lord says to us here. No, it's not in the 7th chapter of John. But he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's the blessed words of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise. I think very near the end of the discourse this morning, we quoted that hymn. The verse, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And dear soul, then may you come, yes, with all your sin, with all your iniquity, with all your transgressions, with all your faults, with all your failings, with all your inconsistencies, your heart wanderings, your backslidings, your sins of omission, your sins of commission. And so you might go on, poor soul. You come and bring it all before him. And he has promised, and I will in no wise cast out. Under no circumstances, I will in no wise cast out. No. And dear soul, let's go over to John's epistle. And what does John say under the blessed inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He says this. It says this to one that is saying or being tempted to believe that you cannot be saved. He says, if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is, oh, it's how you come. I will in no wise cast out. And with all this large, huge catalogues of sin. I don't know about you, but you wouldn't write all my sins in one catalogue. No. Yes, dear soul. And why? It says, I will in no wise. Yes. No wise cast out. But then, let's go back another step. Him that cometh unto me. Him that cometh unto me. See, a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by thy word, at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. Him that cometh unto me, coming where this huge volume of sin and iniquity, this huge burden of sin. Oh, yes, then maybe, dear soul, a roaring adversary, declaring time and time again, you cannot be saved. Says you're lost. Well, you don't need him to tell you that, do you? You feel it within your own heart because you've broken God's word, his commands. You've been disobedient unto him. You came forth from the womb speaking lies. Your very nature is corrupt. But there's been a change. There's been a change. You now, why, one time you didn't think anything about the things of God. You cared not about the word of God. You never read it from one year's end to the next. You might have followed it in the reading in the house of God, but that was about all. Never took it off the shelf. It doesn't remain on the shelf now, does it? Ah, oh, yes, there's those times when it's taken down. When, shall I say, there's, like a child will perhaps, yes, try and peep into some room to see what is there. You, dear soul, peep, as it were, into the Word of God to see what is there. Dear soul, and what have you found? What have you found, dear soul? What have your eyes lit upon as you peeped into the Word of God? Have you found some of those sweet, gracious words of divine encouragement? Have there been those sacred promises? But you fear to presume to take them to yourself. You want God to apply them by the power of His Spirit to your soul. So who then has told you you want God to apply them by the power of His Spirit to your soul? I tell you one thing, dear soul, the devil didn't tell you that. No, he did not. Yes, dear soul, you peeped into the Word of God. And it read like this, or it reads like this, doesn't it? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, it says before that, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, you had to pass by the first part, didn't you? But, poor in spirit. And those that mourn. And then there's those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it reads, for they shall be filled. Yes, and that word we've quoted already this afternoon. Yes, and I will in no wise cast out. And yes, dear soul, and this blessed word that the dear Lord Jesus Christ has declared. These that come, and he went to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. He'd gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Boy, yes, dear soul, there's hope then. There's a little hope bubbles up in your heart that after all, yes, this which seems so hard, which seems so impossible, yet, dear soul, it begins to break up, doesn't it? Oh, this unbelief in your heart and mine, these hard thoughts, the Lord begins to soften by His grace. Oh, yes. And you read this, didn't you? You turned to the Psalms and you read this. That show me a token for God. And perhaps you turned back elsewhere in the Word of God and you looked and found this in the book of Joshua. And there was a poor woman, yes, a harlot, a sinner. And what she said, what she said to those spies, give me a true token. Yes, and you want this true token. This token for God. This token of His special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. My supplication, Lord, is this, that all my sins may be subdued and all my precious promises may be to me and for my God. Oh, yes, is anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, this all, and He came, yes, He came to seek and to save sinners. And what did He say to one dear woman? Have you peeped into the Word of God, this soul, and found this? He said, but I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And like herd is all, you put in your worthy claim because you feel to be lost. And you cry out, Lord, help me. Oh, prayer indicted in the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I go back to this morning as well. These souls do not claim that they're born again. These souls do not claim that they've got the work of God's grace in their hearts. But they have. But that's yet to be made clear and manifest. But oh, yes, again, dear soul, you peeped then. You peeped into the Word of God. Dear soul, you know, sometimes you open the Bible and sometimes it's like a mirror. And you see there, or you read of one, the one there in the Bible, and you think, well, that's just like me. Just like me. Ah, dear soul, is this like you? Weeping. Ah, dear soul, weeping and washing the feet of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ with your tears. The tears of penitential grief and sorrow. Oh yes, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou art not despised. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Why Hebrews 7? And why, what did it read there? It reads here, does it not, about one, that he is able to save to the uttermost. Now, so, do you this afternoon feel to be that uttermost one? You will if you think like this, that it's too hard. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you think, dear soul, or tempted to believe that you're beyond salvation, then you'll feel to be an uttermost sinner. You will. But you know, dear soul, uttermost sinners come to the Lord. They come to the Lord. Just as I am, without one plea. Lord, remember me. Ah, without one plea? You've got one plea, haven't you, poor soul? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So, dear soul, and he says then to the uttermost, the very, very worst of sinners. Dear soul, again, have you looked into the Bible? And have you found this? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, yes, it is all. It is indeed by the teaching of the blessed Spirit that you know and you realise that you're not righteous by any stroke of imagination. But you do know that you are a sinner. You do know you are a sinner. And dear soul, yes, So that dear woman came to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears. Ah, yes. You see, Simon knew all about her. He knew she was a notorious character. Well, I don't know anything particularly about anybody in here this afternoon, only the poor man that stands in the pulpit. But dear soul, is there here in this little company this afternoon a poor sinner? Yes. And you feel, dear soul, everybody knows all about you. And you know, dear soul, godless people cannot understand why Jesus loves such sinners. But it is because He loved them with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness He has drawn. He's drawn you away from the carnal carking cares of this poor, perishing, dying world. Your soul's athirst for Christ. It's give me Christ or else I die. Well, this poor woman then, you say, is anything too hard for the Lord? Simon thinks it's too hard. If this man were a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, but she is a sinner. Beyond redemption. Never. Neither are you, poor soul, beyond redemption. Came to save. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. If there's a poor soul like this here this afternoon, you go home, dear soul, and plead this blessed word and prove God's divine faithfulness. Yeah. That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here comes this woman. She's weeping now at the feet of Christ, washing her with tears, godly sorrow, repentance. Yes, dear soul, she may have felt that she could never, ever be saved. And perhaps, dear soul, you may feel that you can never, ever be saved. But you're going to come just the same. You're going to come because there is a who can tell that the Lord may indeed be gracious to my never dying soul. You see, why eventually the Lord turns to this dear woman and declares to her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. It just takes me back. Your late dear pastor, Mr. Tyler, came to Croydon one occasion. Never forget. Don't want to. But at that text there in Ephesians, here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave out the text, perhaps to yourself, that's how you felt this afternoon. I said within myself when he gave out the text, there's nothing for me. Perhaps dear soul, that's just what you say. There's nothing for me in a text like that. But you see, he began where God began with a sinner. Oh, and before the end of that service, friends, I was like that dear woman, the happiest soul on the face of the earth. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This old, you say, but my prayers are so poor, they're so weak, they're so feeble. I don't seem to be able to string two sentences together. Don't even be able to sing two or three words together. Dear soul, he understands the sigh, the cry, the fall of a tear, the upward glance of an eye where none but God is near. You say, well, that's all very well, but that's man's words. It's not God's word. Well, let me give you God's word then. That he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Poor though I am, despised for God, yet Jesus my Lord forgets me not. Dear soul, is anything too hard for the Lord? What does dear Isaiah say on this subject? Chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool, they'll be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. And dear soul, you're pardoned, you're forgiven, and heaven is secure. Blessed be his glorious name. Yes, when this poor lisp in stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing to him that died to save. Yes, yes, dear soul, is anything too hard for the Lord? See, dear soul, why, blessed be his glorious name, he's made a way for poor dying sinners. Dear soul, and there was this blessed promise just back here. Yeah. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. She'll bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. It is how it has been accomplished, blessed victory by God's dear Son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Why, yes, dear soul, Jesus indeed has stood in the sinner's place, Roman's dead. Dear soul, he's died for the ungodly. That takes you and I in, doesn't it, dear soul? He died for the ungodly. Blessed be his name. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Just his soul, he saves. He saves the very, very worst of sinners. According to his own word, I'm not making anything up, dear soul. I came to seek and to save the lost. I didn't come to call the righteous, I called sinners to repentance. And blessed be his name, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, his great love. His great love to sinners. That this hour that brought him from the realms of glory and of bliss to this earth. A man, the God-man, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Why? and all men will come unto him. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Yes, dear soul, the very worst of sinners shall be drawn by his everlasting love. His great love to their soul. His great love to their never dying souls. Dear soul, he never has and he never will love your sin and mine. But blessed be his name. He does forgive. He does forgive. Their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more forever. Their sin shall not be mentioned unto them. You take the parable of the prodigal. You know, what a wayward son he was. But, see, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, realised his sinnership, realised he wasn't prepared for heaven and for glory, returns to his father's house. There's the father, watching for his return. Saw him a great way off. He didn't run indoors and get the broomstick and go and give him a jolly good thrashing, did he? No. He ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. He loved him. He's still his child. Dear soul, and our blessed Lord, oh yes, he does and he may chastise us for our sin and our iniquity, but dear soul, it's in covenant love. It's in covenant love, dear soul. But he loves. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Blessed be his name. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? Even, dear soul, the salvation of your poor, never-dying soul. We mentioned the dying thief this morning. Let's mention him again now. Why, is anything too hard for the Lord? How many would have thought that the dying thief there on the cross at Calvary was going to heaven? Where this work of grace began, here on the cross at Calvary. Here, when he realised his sin. We indeed justly. Dear soul, have you come there? It's not a comfortable place. It's not a place, dear soul, where we sing praise God from whom all blessings flow. No, not when we feel, dear soul, we indeed justly, but we suffer the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss. But then, see, dear soul, he prays. And he prays earnestly. He prays sincerely. He prays looking unto Jesus. And the Lord heard. Amongst all the din, all the hullabaloo around that cross at Calvary, Jesus heard one poor sinner's cry. Say, my soul, why not for thee? And dear soul, his ear is still open to the cry of the destitute. The cry of that dear man, destitute. Destitute up to this moment of the grace of God. But now he's got grace. He may not realise it, But he realises his need of salvation. He realises need of the Lord to have mercy upon his poor, never-dying soul. He realises that shortly he's going to enter into eternity, and he's not ready, he's not fit, and he's not prepared for it. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, what a blessed answer. Ah, what a prayer. God given, God indicted, Holy Spirit indicted. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, dear soul. Blessed be his name. There is nothing too hard for him. The very worst of sinners, he is able, able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Able to save to the uttermost. I don't know. The poor soul here this afternoon feels to be an uttermost sinner. Perhaps that's how you came. Well, dear soul. He's able. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, dear soul. He's able to save. Now, is anything too hard for the Lord? Seem to have spent most of the time. But on this point of salvation, but is a big point, isn't it? It's so needful, so necessary. Oh, and why? Let all fruitless searches go, which perplex and tease. We determine naught to know but a bleeding Jesus. Why, but a bleeding, able to save. Let's come back here then. I was going to go to something else, but let's go here, this. Why, and this is anything too hard to look? Why, this soul is made away. Yes, Jesus, God's dear Son, has made a way whereby you and I, poor soul, can come and approach unto him. There was, yes, all those works that Jesus did here on earth. But, what is it the dear hymn writer says here in hymn number 88, I believe it is, this one strange work exceeds them all. Ah, this mighty work of salvation. This blessed work. Ah, the parents, Joseph and Mary, asked him why he wasn't with them. Why he treated them so. Wish ye not as be about my Father's business? This how. And here was the business that he came to do. Here was what he came to undertake. To obtain his eternal salvation for us. And that brought him, dear soul, to Gethsemane's garden. Brought him to the judgment hall. Brought him to the cross at Calvary. Oh, yes, dear soul. When here at the cross at Calvary, yes, why, dear soul, there was, as we read in the Gospels there, those seven cries of Jesus from the cross at Calvary. But just to perhaps speak of one or two of them, why, there was this one, wasn't there? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Ah, and yes, God the Son endured the hidings of God the Father's face. But dear soul, he's there in the sinner's place, room and stead. He's there suffering for you and I hope. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the sky, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, to suffer, bleed, and to make a way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Why, oh friend, is anything too hard for the Lord? I go back to Gethsemane a moment. Why, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He endured what no tongue can tell. The hidings of his Father's face. I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but the word agony, I think I'm right in saying, comes once in the Bible. And it's there. There is Jesus in Gethsemane's garden, as Luke tells us. And he was in agony. There's no hand of malice, enmity, no soldier, no chief priest, scribe or Pharisee here. No. But, oh, the vindictive hand of God against sin. Ah, yes, all resting on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But why, here at Calvary, you say, there was this hiding of his Father's face. The just for the unjust. He was there, harbouring. It wasn't he that deserved the hiding, was it? It's you and I, poor soul, if we're one of his. We deserve the hiding of his Father's face. But he suffers in our place, room instead. He cried out, a lamentable cry. Oh, yes. But then there was the cry of triumph, the cry of victory. It is finished. What was finished? That work that the Father gave me to do. Finished. Angels bear it, tell it through the earth abroad. Salvation's work is done, complete. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He's made a way. The veil is rent from top to bottom. A way is made, peace is made. Between divine, holy, offended majesty and poor, guilty sinners. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes. So then, a poor sinner that came in this chapel this afternoon, devil hunted, devil dragged. Feeling there's no hope for your poor, never dying soul. Feeling you could never, ever be saved. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. This all is born the curse in the sinner's place, room and stead. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, and is how in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there shall ye be also. There shall ye be also. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly say not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. Amen.